Support for this program comes from the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. Helping you discover the Twin Cities, it is Radio K's Real College Podcast. Online and on the air, my name is Matthew Curtis, and this week we are staying home. I mean, sure, Minneapolis and St. Paul are bursting with things to do, places to visit, bands to listen to, but we all need a bit of a breather sometime. We should need to sit down on our sofas, take a nap in our beds, to wake up refreshed and ready to take on the Twin Cities and its limitless culture. Aaron Bolton hangs out at a house show, Nathan Gurdis listens to house bands, and Katie Boleyn stays at home to do some online dating. We also hear The Word on the Street with Patrick Sharkey and Radio K's weekly release spotlight. It all starts right now on The Real College Podcast. Concerts are a common occurrence on any day of the week here in Minneapolis. You can go to any of your favorite venues and find a show for any type of music. But what about a show in a house? These private events are part house party, part concert. Aaron Bolton attended a house show in Minneapolis to see what's on offer versus a concert at a traditional venue.
I think house shows are a great opportunity for musicians to reach a different crowd that they don't normally get at traditional venues. And on that note, it's always a better party because it goes later. The drinks are more liberal and the crowd is more game to tear it up a little bit, whereas they keep it kind of reined in at venues.
I'm here with Brandon and we're talking about how house shows and venues differ.
Right, well, when you've got a party going at a house versus at a club, you've got a lot of people that you've invited, but I feel like generally there's still cliques. But when you go to like a venue or like a show or even like a festival experience, it's almost like everybody is one. Right when you walk into that venue, like you are now in a room with 1,000 of your new best friends.
So JT, what do you think about house shows versus going to a venue?
Yeah, it's great to have a little more, a little less strict policy. There's no coat check involved, but you know, you can find a way. But a house party is a great mix of a little different environment.
Fans and partygoers' preferences on venues versus house shows are only half the answer. I talked with some of the bands to get their perspective on playing at these events.
I'm here with Ben and Nick of Modern Era and Jack as well.
I'm here. I like the house parties because it's really chill. It's not like a competitive atmosphere like you get in a bar. Everyone's just trying to come out and hang out and have a good time.
I love it. I feel like you can actually connect with the people who want to see the music.
Do you think it's a good place to network with bands?
Yeah, totally. I mean, it's like a really no-pressure situation, so I think the bands actually at parties are a lot easier to converse with each other because it's not like you're kind of competing.
Get your guard down.
Entertainment, yeah. And you're not in your typical, you know, house, so you kind of don't know how to deal with it, you know?
I mean, you can meet people anywhere, but like I said, if you're going to come see a show at a house, you're actually going to want to go. You know, it's not like you just read an ad, oh, this band's coming through, because there's not going to be an ad for a house party show. You had to hear about it, you know? You almost have to be a part of it, and that's kind of what keeps people wanting to come. It's like, you got to find your way in. You're not just going to know where the house is unless someone specifically tells you, so.
Yeah.
It's always cool because you meet a specific group of people, which is awesome.
Exclusive, you know? Yeah. It's like you got to know people to get in there.
Yeah.
Keep out the riffraff.
Keep out the riffraff. None of that riffraff, boy. None of that.
I'm here with Danger On and the Spins. And these guys like to play at house shows. They also like to put them on. So I guess, what's your general opinion?
I think the idea of playing house shows is a lot more fun. I mean, overall, just more people are going to come out. It's free, and yeah, I mean, the venues are great, but it's harder in this day and age to get people to come out to live music, so it's nice.
Hey, I'm Marshall. I'm the singer. That was Matt. He plays drums. Yeah, we've been playing venues in Minneapolis for like a year and a half now, and you know, we haven't really like made any money off that, which is like not what it's about, but I feel like that's kind of what it's more about when you play venues. And I prefer to play house shows because I think the spirit of the thing is just about music and people coming together to play their music.
What is the process of doing a venue show rather than a house show?
I mean, it's always worth it, and we have tons of venues that we love playing at, but I mean, you know, the process is just, there's all the cleanup. It's easier to get people to the house, the venue. I mean, it's really a toss-up, but overall, like, house shows are just more for now.
Even though house shows aren't competition venues, I wanted to see what a venue such as First Avenue may think of these private house shows.
I'm talking with Nate Kranz here, GM of First Avenue. And we're kind of talking about house parties. You know, they're not a very new thing. They've been around for, you know, forever. They're, you know, party with live music at it. And, you know, many people go to it for different reasons. But, you know, what is your general opinion on, you know, house shows with live music?
I've had a good time at house shows in the past. I mean, I think they're, you know, kind of a fun, they're a great way for, you know, say newer bands that maybe haven't gotten into the clubs yet or whatever, or just starting out and want to get in front of an audience. And I think it might be easier for newer bands, like if they are playing, you know, it's hard when you get into a club if nobody's ever seen you. Sort of a catch-22 is how are you supposed to ever get people in front of you, short of, you know, opening for more established bands or whatever. And so I think a house party can sort of fill that role in a lot of ways for newer bands that are starting up, because they can just go down, they can play a house party. The draw is not necessarily so reliant on a well-known band, but, you know, people are going to go to a house party and it's going to be inexpensive and excited to see something new, quite possibly, and it's a way for bands to get in front of people. And it's also a way that if you're, you know, like say a local artist and you want to play more than you can play at just clubs if you're going to continue to get people down. And so it's maybe an alternative. So you can do a show at, say, 7th Street Entry one weekend and maybe play a house party 2 weeks later. And it's not quite as advertised. It's a little bit more of an underground thing. And it won't affect you from going and, you know, maybe doing another club show after that.
For Culture Q, I'm Aaron Bolton.
Live in the studio, I have Aaron Bolden. So you actually host house shows yourself?
We like to just have a bunch of friends over and have some good music playing, and it's a fantastic thing to do. It's just different. It's not your same venue show, but it's also a house party. It's just a great mixture of things going on.
How did you get involved with it? Because, you know, judging by the story, it seems like it's very, very classified thing going on. So how did you get?
Just getting to know the right people. I just stumbled upon it, and we talked with some people, and they like to come over our house and hang out, and they just like, hey, do you want to throw a house show? And I was like, well, I mean, if you think we could do it. So, and over the first few times, it worked out fantastically. Everyone behaved themselves properly. It worked out nice.
Is he going to keep doing them?
You know, unfortunately, we got to move on to the next house. Our landlord wants to sell the house here, but there's other things in the work. We're doing some outdoor stuff here soon. So
you're talking about like some kind of network of house shows, is that
yeah, kind of... Danger Around in the Spins, they're a local band here, and they like to throw on these house shows, and they are the guys that helped me out with this, and that's what they're doing, is, you know, people that can facilitate this kind of thing. And they're just trying to get a network. I think the name they coined for it is called Upstream Circuit. And, you know, if you go to these things, and they'll come and ask you to get on an email blast, and that's kind of how it formulates.
Nice. Well, best luck with that.
Yeah. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Aaron. You did a great job. And we'll see you soon.
Thanks.
Imagine yourself as a musician. Rather than touring the world, you play the same venue at the same time, night after night after night. Welcome to the world of house bands. Finding himself in an upscale Minneapolis hotel, music reporter Nathan Goodis begins his exploration into why a musician would choose this path of apparent safety and sameness. In the spring, we moved out west. I miss the cocktails at the Concord.
it's a very unique situation to be in. Okay. And it's rare. I think it's actually quite an honor. It's a lot of work, but it's an honor for sure.
Flip Arculary, when not working his second job here at the hotel, books shows and residencies for the Amsterdam Bar and Hall in downtown St. Paul. So he should have nothing but praise for residency programs, right?
The residency might actually be bad for the artist's career. You know, there has been a little bit of backlash. There are some people that think that it really spreads yourself thin as an artist, and it's a lot harder to get a good audience, you know, 4 weeks in a row. That's just not a very normal thing.
What do you think personally about that?
I think it depends on the artist. I think some people really thrive in that residency environment, and that's where they're going to do their best work.
It didn't take long to find a band that found themselves thriving in this residency environment. Minneapolis band Mayeth was the Amsterdam's resident artist for the month of February. Relaxed in his St. Paul apartment, bassist Boone Epstein had this to say about the residency still fresh in his memory.
I think what was most important to us is that performing a show in the same location every week puts a lot of pressure on you to kind of up your game and try new things, try songs that we don't normally play live, or new arrangements of old songs, try live experiments, try more improvisational kind of music, and we did all of that.
Flip, however, is quick to point out that a residency may be good, but it is not necessary.
I really want to express to your audience that you don't need to have a residency to be successful. In fact, there's lots of great people that have never had one or hate them, and that works just great for them.
But why do people generally associate residencies with successful music careers? Well, to answer that, let's step back and examine the public's two most popular images of musician residencies. Viva Las Vegas! Viva Las Vegas! How I wish that... From Elvis Presley to Britney Spears, Las Vegas residencies are famous for allowing successful musicians to ride out the ends of their careers, making easy money by performing their hit songs to crowds of rich, nostalgic fans. And yet, we also see residencies as where music careers are born. Artists from the Ramones to the Beatles are all remembered for getting their start playing the same clubs over and over again, whether through formal or informal residencies. The point is, the public's view of musician residencies are often framed by a band's success. Either they have already succeeded, or they will succeed in the future. But going back to Flip's earlier statement, if residencies are unnecessary to the success of a band, then what is?
Yeah, you just have to know how to play the game. I think that's really important. And that's such an intangible thing. It's really hard to describe to people. It's about nepotism. You have to know somebody. If you don't know somebody, you have to meet them, and then maybe they'll help you out if they like you. Okay. It's a very long process. They have the ability to pick other people to come on the bill with them so they can showcase other people's talent. The music industry is pretty much about nepotism.
Boone sees the same process, but through the lens of someone trying to foster the growth of the music community.
What made me happiest about it were the interactions I saw between the bands that we performed with. We don't really fall into any clear genre category, and because of that, we usually booked on any given night two bands that both sound similar to us but don't really sound like each other. And I think we were able to make those bands more aware of each other and get them to listen to each other and get them to want to play shows with each other, and that made me really happy as a musician.
For most people, success is used in a professional sense. A successful band is one that makes a living for its musicians, for example. But is this even the right definition of success?
Oh, so the first thing you should know, seeing it me at my other job, is that the music industry is a horrible way to make money, and if you don't love it, you won't last very long.
Like, honestly, we have no illusions about making any sort of comfortable living for ourselves playing strange artsy metal music. So success for us is just playing the music that we want to play and making art that we think is really special, really unique, and most importantly, an expression of ourselves. And I think the freedom that we had with the residency to take really significant risks really let us succeed because we were able to push ourselves to make the kind of music that we wanted to make.
For Culture Q, I'm Nathan Gurdes.
Hey folks, here at the Real College Podcast, we like to give you a peek at some of the upcoming shows happening around the cities this week in a segment called Word on the Street. Well, now's that time, so let's check it out. Swimming in the snifter, pretty as a picture. Don't get it twisted, man, her bite is a bitch. You can name, you can keep her, but take care when you feed her. You never can take the fight out of the fish. Chomping at the drill bit, never want to still sit. You can test my metal with a magnet and some tip snips. Ink test, all I see is canines and some wingtips. Pilot pit and pocket, I'm riding with stinks and ink jets. Around here, we don't like talk of big dreams. To stand out is a pride that you see. To aim high is to make waves, to split seams. But that's not what it seems like to me. Cause I wanna try, I wanna risk. And I don't wanna walk, rather swing and miss. I'm not above apologies, but I don't ask permission. Got a lot of imperfections, but I don't care my ambition in them. Minneapolis' own Dessa is putting on a show at the Hopkins Center for the Arts this Tuesday, March 8th, my birthday. She hasn't mentioned to me if there will be a cake, but I'd bring presents just in case. And thank you in advance. We'll see you there. Radiation City is playing the 7th Street Entry on March 11th with Deep Sea Diver. I saw them play with Vacationer a few months back, and it was a very good time. I highly recommend checking them out. The show is 18+, tickets are $10, and this song is called Zombies. Brainerd's Charlie Parr is playing the Cedar Cultural Center also on March 11th, so you've got some decisions to make. That said, I got a chance to see Mr. Parr during his residency last month at the Turf Club, and it was a really, really good time. Here is Parr's 1922. That's all I really want to talk about this week. There are obviously many other shows going on this week, including Carly Rae Jepsen playing at the Varsity, so you can do whatever you would like with that information. But instead of playing Call Me Maybe, I think I'm going to play a song from the Japan Droids because it's a good song. Have a good week. I'm Patrick Sharkey.
Where do you find someone to date? Is it at cool indie shows and coffee shops? Or is it online, with the help of profile pictures, bios, and possibly swiping right? Veteran reporter Katie Bolin looks at the popularity of online dating while contrasting its stigmatic reputation.
We are inundated with commercials and ads that tell us our perfect partner is just a couple clicks away.
It's nice to get a love letter once in a while. And boy, did we just get one at eHarmony.com. Independent research has confirmed that our passion for finding you that perfect someone works. eHarmony.com ranks first in highest number of marriages, first in most satisfied
marriages. Upload a picture,
marriages,
share your favorite movies, list your worst fears, marriages. And magically visit meet dozens, even hundreds stop of waiting. People who might start be your soulmate. But really, do online dating websites actually help people find love? I talked with Dr. Paul Eastwick, an assistant professor from the University of Texas at Austin, who studies many psychological aspects of romantic relationships, including how online dating differs from more traditional ways of dating. I asked Paul why anybody would online date.
I think online dating provides a lot of advantages for people who are interested in meeting new partners, whether for purely sexual relationships or more serious relationships. Probably the best thing that online dating does is it gives options to people who have, feel like they've exhausted the possibilities in their existing social networks. And it really gives people a chance to meet one another and a chance to meet people who you at least have a good chance of, there's a good chance that they are in fact, not taken, not in a relationship.
I online date to, be exposed and meet people that I would never meet in real life.
I wanted to get an inside look at what online dating is actually like from my friend Chloe. She has tried every online dating site under the digital sun. She explains why she uses online dating sites to meet new people.
No, I don't want your number. No, I don't want to give you mine. And no, I don't want to meet you nowhere. No, I don't want any old time. And no, I don't.
Here's the thing about online dating. When I go, where do you meet people? When I go to a bar, I'm with my girlfriends. I don't want to meet the guy who's talking to me. I'm not interested. I'm trying to hang out with them. So where else do you meet people? I don't want to be set up by a coworker. I don't want to date a coworker. I don't want to date a friend of a friend, because if it goes bad, who knows? So online dating is an outlet to meet people that you wouldn't really meet in your normal life, and gives you a way to explore a city or a location and learn something new. So it's great. I love it. I am a huge proponent.
The world has changed. 1 in 5 relationships now begin on an online dating site.
Oh, hi!
And when it comes to meeting someone great online, there's only one place to go, Match.com. We've led to more dates, more relationships, and more marriages than any other
site. Every dating website ad tells us that this is the future. But as a society, do we believe that online dating could actually work, or is it still a little taboo when it comes to finding true love?
Everyone's always embarrassed to say they met online. So there's still a stigma. And it's certainly not as romantic as, bumping into someone in a grocery store and picking up a loaf of bread and your eyes meet and, love ever after. But I'm impatient, and I want love now, so I'm gonna go online.
If you think of online dating as really being dating online, it would be extremely difficult to know whether that spark is there or not. But of course, that's not really what online dating is. Online dating is a way of meeting people using these online tools.
Despite the stigma that still surrounds online dating, its prevalence in society as a way to meet new people is becoming the new normal. As an expert, Chloe offers a little advice to those of you who have not yet jumped into the world of online dating.
Get out of your comfort zone, learn something new, and find someone who might become a lover. or a friend, or a one-night stand.
I'm Katie Bolin. Good luck.
And that concludes this week's Real College Podcast. Thank you to Aaron Bolton, Nathan Goodis, Patrick Sharkey, and Katie Bolin for contributing to this week's show. Our producers are Max Fuller, Patrick Sharkey, Jackie Renzetti, and David Lean. And you can find us on RadioK.org, iTunes, and on Sundays at 6 p.m. on Radio K. To play us out is Radio K's weekly release spotlight in association with the Electric Fetus, the debut album from post-country duo Rat Boys, A-O-I-D. This track is called 1914. Support for this program comes from the Minnesota Arts and Culture Heritage Fund, and thank you for listening.
All right, that's it.